This is program C-1140. It's Friday, so let me extend my customary thank you to all of you who are helping Into the Word stay on the air with your generous donations. Anyone that would like to assist them in that, just write down the contact information you'll hear at the end of the program today, and then send your one-time or ongoing gift of any amount to that address, and 100% of that will be applied to keeping the program on the radio. Thank you for that assistance. Fridays, I also challenge you to be very active in your body life, meaning your church body life. You need to have a home congregation, and you need to be there regularly, soaking up the fellowship and the study and the prayer, and also being involved in the worship and the service of that congregation. If you don't have a Bible-believing home church, you need to find one as soon as possible and get plugged in there. If you're looking for a place and you're within driving distance of Elkhart East, we are more than happy to have you pop by and see if we're the place that you could call home. We are 150 days until the flight to Israel. I need you to make your mind up real quick to go with us. Today is actually the day that the first big installment payment is due. And so the time is running out to get registered. So please check out the brochure. It's there on the front page of the website, intotheword.net. And share that around with anybody that you think might want to go. I also want you to spend a little bit of time this weekend talking to the leadership of your church about the benefits of sending your preacher on this trip. I have several preachers already that are going. Some of them are being paid for by their congregations. And so I'd love for yours to be another one that does that. They will come back just full of firsthand experience of the Holy Land. And they will be wanting to talk about this thing and that thing and the other thing. It'll be hard to get them to not say, you know, this reminds me of something that happened while I was in Israel. It'll be great. You will enjoy it. So please, send your preacher. Today we're going to pick up in my Living in the Last Days Prophecy seminar notes. You'll have to have the notes really to make sense out of some of the things I'm going to reference today. So they're on the website, intotheword.net, PDF resource section. If you don't have internet capability, you can call me and leave a message that will give me a place that I can contact where I can send you a hard copy of it. My phone number, 574-850-1327. That's my church cell phone number. If I don't recognize the number, I don't answer. But you can leave a message and I'll get back with you, I promise. So I'm on page 82. And yesterday I introduced you to the idea that I believe that since Jesus' first coming fulfilled perfectly the chronology and symbolism of the first two mandatory feasts of the Jews, that is, Passover and Pentecost, I anticipate that he will also fulfill the last mandatory festival of the Jews, which would be Tabernacles. Now, how did he fulfill the first ones? Well, on the 10th day of the first month, leading up to Passover, the Passover lambs had to be brought into the houses, designated as the sacrifice on the 10th day. That's exactly the day that Jesus arrived in Jerusalem as the final Passover lamb, what we refer to as the triumphal entry. The 14th day was the day on which those lambs had to be sacrificed. During the daylight hours, Jesus was also sacrificed as the final Passover lamb. So I think that's two marks where Jesus fulfilled prophetically what happened on those days, on those very days. The Sunday after the Saturday Sabbath of Passover week was called First Fruits. It was the day on which the high priest would go out and cut the first sheaf of the grain harvest, wave it before the Lord, and say, this is the first fruits of the harvest. That's the day on which Jesus resurrected from the dead, as the first fruits from those who are dead. Paul uses that phrase about him. He is the first human being permanently resurrected. And so we will follow suit later. So in all those aspects, he fulfilled the Passover symbolism. 50 days later, the Jewish people had another ceremony that marked the kickoff of the wheat harvest. It was called Pentecost. It was also the day on which they noted the giving of the law, the Old Covenant. Well, on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2 tells us that the church was born, a new covenant was given, and a harvest of souls began. And so all of these things show that the two mandatory festivals of the Jews were fulfilled perfectly, prophetically, on the very day. That only leaves the Feast of Tabernacles and its two associated days, the Day of Trumpets and Yom Kippur, to be fulfilled. And so my expectation, and it's just only speculation, let me emphasize that again here, I am not a prophet, I am not making a claim that God has revealed this to me, I am telling you this has come through a study of already fulfilled prophecy to suggest to me this is how future prophecy could be fulfilled on the exact day of the calendar. And so here's what I would suggest to you, that the first day of the seventh month at the end of the 3.5 year period, that's going to be the Feast of Trumpets. And I believe that is going to be the day that Gabriel's trumpet sounds. Now, I don't know if it's Gabriel or not that sounds it, but that's what we usually say. That's going to be the trumpet of the archangel, the trumpet of the Lord. The dead in Christ will rise. The living in Christ will be transformed. They will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, because he will be coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as Revelation chapter 19 describes so well. I think that will happen on that exact day. 10 days later on the Jewish calendar is their only mandatory fast day. It is the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. On this day, the Jewish people were expected to repent of their sins and accept the sacrifice of their high priest, who only on this day went into the Holy of Holies. If they did not tie themselves into that blood sacrifice, they would have been responsible for their own death because of sin. Because of that symbolism, I anticipate that Yom Kippur, the 10th day of the 7th month, 10 days after Jesus splits the sky, I believe that will be the day of the Battle of Harmageddon, when all of those who have taken the mark of the beast will pay with their own blood for their sin, because they refused to accept the blood sacrifice of the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of the earth. That's my suggestion to you. We'll talk more about it when we get to places that talk about the Battle of Armageddon. The 15th day of the 7th month was the kickoff to the 7-into-8-day celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles. That day was a day of, actually it was a whole week's worth of celebration, that they were no longer outside the Promised Land. They were now in the Promised Land. They were now living in their own houses, living in their own inheritance, and they were finished with their journey to the Promised Land. My expectation is that the Feast of Tabernacles will be the kickoff to the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, and that every year, as the book of Zechariah says, we will celebrate Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, our Messiah, our Savior, our Lord. We will celebrate it on the Feast of Tabernacles by remembering we're no longer in the wilderness of the world. We're no longer on our journey to the Promised Land because we're in the Promised Land. And so this is all going to come up again when we start talking about the millennium. I'll mention the symbolism that's involved here. So that's my expectation, that those things will happen at the end of the 3.5-year period that we're referring to as the Day of the Lord. On the next several pages of the notes, I have provided an example Jewish calendar that reflects how the things we've talked about already, and a few that we haven't, might occur chronologically. Once again, you've got to keep in your mind, I'm not making a prediction here as a prophecy. I am not a prophet. I'm not a son of a prophet. I am not saying, thus says the Lord. I'm not saying that God has revealed this to me supernaturally. I'm saying these are my suggestions. These are my extrapolations based on things I've already seen in my studies and which I've suggested to you. You have to have an understanding of the Jewish calendar system for this to make sense. I have a decent reference to the Jewish calendar system in the beginning of my Chronological Companion, which is basically a very detailed outline of the entire Bible. You can find that in the PDF section of the Into the Net or Into the Word.net website as well. The calendar system that I show here, the 3.5 years that I show on these pages, is an actual overlay of the Jewish calendar to our modern Western calendar. It happened a few years ago. I was wanting to lay this out in this fashion because I thought it would help people that were visually oriented better. So I just took those particular years that were coming up as my example. So that's my explanation where I came from. Now, Jewish years are typically 12 months long. Those months vary between 29 and 30 days in length. Now, the modern Jewish calendar has a standardized method that they come to those particular months. I use the ancient Jewish mechanisms, which was the month started when the first sliver of the new moon could be seen immediately after sunset. And so that can be restored using some astronomical programs. And so that's the calendar system I use. And so the months will vary between 29 and 30 days, depending on when the new moon is sighted. But the Jewish calendar has to keep in line with the seasons as well. So that means every 3 years, there has to be a second 12th month thrown into the program. And that will keep it in sync with the passing of the seasons. So that's referred to as a long year. It just so happens that the first year that I show you in my example calendar is a long Jewish year. So I just want you to be aware of that. So what I wanted to do was lay out the 3.5 years and also lay out what I anticipate will occur during those years. So I believe, because we can count back 3.5 years from a Feast of Trumpets, I believe that the 3.5 years will kick off on the first day of the first Jewish month, so in the spring. Angel fall is going to happen on that day. Remember, I use that term to refer to when Satan and his angels are booted out of the supernatural dimension into our physical dimension. There's going to be a lot of chaos. The sun's going to go black. The moon's going to be blood red. Stars are going to be falling from the sky. The earthquakes are going to happen, mountains and islands are going to be moved out of place. It's going to be a lot of frightening geophysical things happening. I think it's likely that the Pacific Ring of Fire will pop off. I also believe that some of the tense hot spots around the world are probably going to ignite, as in people fighting against each other on border skirmishes. It's going to be scary. But here's the guarantee. If you can't handle it, you won't be here. Jesus gave us the promise through Paul that no time of testing will come upon us except that which is common to all mankind. God is faithful. He will not allow us to be tested beyond what we're able. But with that testing, we'll provide a way of escape that we might be able to endure it. So if we can't handle it, we will be dead before any of this thing happens. Okay? If we're there, we can handle it. That's the guarantee from Scripture. So angel fall is going to happen. The government that has been trying to provide peace and security to the world is probably going to just collapse into chaos at this moment. I think most governments around the world are going to collapse into chaos. It's possible our nets, our electricity grids are all going to go down. I think all of that is very possible. The two witnesses are going to also begin their ministry on that very day. Their ministry is 1,260 days long, which is exactly 10 days short of a 3.5-year Jewish period. I believe that these two gentlemen, I've already said this, are likely to be Enoch and Elijah, the only two men in ancient history that did not die, simply disappeared. God took them away somewhere else. I think this is the somewhere else that he takes them to. And I suspect that they'll be plopped down right there in the Middle East, and their first confrontation will be with Satan, who has been booted out of heaven. They will protect, a group of messianic believers that Satan will try to attack right off the bat. That makes them the two wings of the great eagle that takes the woman away to a place in the wilderness. I think that place is actually Jerusalem, specifically the ancient city, the old city, the Temple Mount area. I think the two witnesses will take over that section of Jerusalem and be there for the next 1,260 days. Now, during the year, there will rise up out of the chaos a new government. It will be led by 10 leaders. These are the 10 horn leaders of the final beast government. They're going to start their rise up in this first year. The final beast leader will also start his rise up. He's the 11th guy. He will co-opt 3 of the 10 and come to power. Maybe that's a reference to somehow a vote within this group to put him as the supreme leader, but that's how he will come to power. He will also be working hand in hand with the dragon, that is with Satan, and will try to carry out his work against anyone that has a positive attitude toward the coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Yehoshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. So the two witnesses will end up providing protection from Satan for that small portion of the saints, but the government of the beast leader and the dragon, they will be carrying out all sorts of operations against other believers around their sphere of influence. Now, how far their sphere will go, I don't know. I've already shared with you my suspicion that it will likely be Europe, probably into part of Asia, maybe down into Africa. And the reason for that is because the Daniel prophecies has the beast associated with the Great Sea, which is the Mediterranean. So I think the Mediterranean is kind of at the center of all these governments of the past. This is going to be a revived Roman Empire. But we know that the New World, North America, and South America were populated by remnants of the fallen old Roman Empire. And so it's possible that the beast leader might even be able to extend his power base as far as the Americas. I don't know for sure because we've got the Atlantic Ocean that's in the way, but he's likely to try. So we will have to wait and see how that plays out. So my anticipation is that year two and year three will be spent consolidating all that power. By year three, the beast leader will probably be very confident that he's got control of most everything. He's got the false prophet as his right-hand guy that's supporting him and putting into effect the image and mark system that we've talked about. During all of this time, the two witnesses are still doing their ministry. Before the end of this third year, I anticipate that the 144,000 will have been martyred. I've told you that I think that they are Jewish messianic believers, young men, virgins, who are serving under the leadership of the two witnesses as missionaries, that they go out with the gospel of the coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and they will be massacred. They will be martyred. And when the last of them is dead, that's when the final wrath of God will be authorized. That is when the seventh seal comes off and the wrath of God is readied. By this time, we've also got the beast leader, his false prophet, saying that they're going to put this image and mark system into place and that anyone who resists it will be executed. But you've also got God giving a very clear public service announcement. Anyone that takes the mark cannot repent of that. There is no coming back from taking that mark. And so no one will have an excuse. Voluntarily taking it will seal your eternal fate. So my anticipation is that by the time that that third year is coming to a close, that a quarter of the world's population will have died since Angel Fall. Some of them will have died in the chaos at the very beginning. Others will have died in the consolidation of the beast leader's power because he hates Christians. He will be trying to rub them out. And then the balance of them will be dying because they refuse to comply with the initiation of the image mark system. And if they won't take the mark, the beast kills them. Which brings us then to the first half of year number four, which would be the half year. We know that one of the wrath events takes 5 months, and I suspect the other wrath events make up the balance of the 6 months that we're talking about here. I anticipate that the image mark system will probably be initiated right around the beginning of this year. It's possible that the beast leader will see the beginning of the year, the third anniversary of the Angel Fall event as some sort of special significant calendar event. And so he kind of kicks it all off. I anticipate that Babylon the Great, that is the city of Rome, will have been destroyed right around this same time. I shared with you that once he utilizes Rome, that is the Roman Catholic Church, to his purposes and has the mark and system in place, he no longer needs them. And so the Roman city is obliterated and he probably moves his operations to Babylon, the literal Babylon in the Middle East, because I think it'll makes more sense that he's carrying operations out near Jerusalem. But this is when the wrath of God begins to be poured out and trumpeted about. So we've got bowls 1 through 4 that have no specific time associated with them. Bowl 5, trumpets 5, is 5 months in duration. So I think that takes us up then very easily to the 20th day of the 6th month, which would be day 1260. Why is that significant? Because that's what we were told would be the duration of the ministry of the two witnesses. On the next day, the 21st day of the sixth month, the two witnesses will have finished their ministry and are killed by the beast leader at Jerusalem. Their bodies lay out in the street. We haven't talked about this yet. We're going to talk about it later. But they resurrect from the dead 3.5 days later. That would be day 1,264, or the 24th day of the sixth month. They ascend into the heavens. There is a great earthquake at Jerusalem. 7,000 people die. I believe, and will suggest to you, that this is when the book of Zechariah's prediction that the Olivet Mountain, the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem, will split in half and form a brand new valley. I believe that valley will be what is called Har-Megiddon, because in the Hebrew language, Har-Megiddon literally means split mountain. And I'll talk more about that later. And then I believe a lot of the saints that had been kind of barricaded and protected there in the old city of Jerusalem by the two witnesses will escape through this new valley and try to run away from the invading forces of the Antichrist, the final beast leader and his false prophet, taking over the city of Jerusalem, because that's their goal, is to take over the city of Jerusalem for themselves. And so I think that is the explanation of how the 3.5 years will play out on a calendar. The Feast of Trumpets, which is the first day of the seventh month, will be the second coming of Jesus. The 10th day of the seventh month will be the day of the Battle of Armageddon. And the 15th will be the kickoff of the great millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Well, we'll come back on Monday and we'll get back into the text of the book of Revelation. And I hope you have a great weekend.